Welcome to the Alaska Uncovered podcast with me, your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. I bring you accurate, helpful, and entertaining information about Alaska travel and life in Alaska. My occasional co-host and full-time husband, Jay, and I are committed to keeping the Alaska Uncovered podcast ad-free. To do that, we need your help. If you're enjoying the podcast, we invite you to contribute to our tip jar, which is the first link in the show notes. We are so grateful for our listeners, and we wouldn't be here without you. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Are you looking for things to do in Fairbanks while you're waiting for the Northern Lights to come out? That's what we're talking about today. My guest today is Morgan Clay. Morgan lives in Fairbanks, Alaska, and is the owner of Borealis Sparks and Kick Sled Rentals. She is passionate about getting Alaskan families and visitors alike outside to enjoy the great outdoors and all the beauty that Fairbanks has to offer during the winter months. Morgan, welcome to Alaska Uncovered. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to join you.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you here. So before we get into kind of details about winter and Fairbanks and all that fun stuff, tell me, how did you get to Alaska?
Well, actually, I'm born and raised in Fairbanks. So I consider myself a lifer.
Yep,
I've been here forever. I've left to go travel, but it just, something about home is deep rooted inside, and I will always forever call this place home, and can't imagine myself living somewhere else, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so can you tell us, what is a kick sled and why is it cool? So I know we're going to talk about more than just that, but to start off, tell me, what is kick sledding? Like, how did you get into it?
Okay.
Yeah, and then towards the end, we'll talk about how people can find you if they want to try it out.
Great. So kick sledding is actually a Scandinavian pastime, winter pastime. In Scandinavian countries, kick sleds have been around for a couple hundred years. And actually, the brand that we sell, it's called Esla. And the family that makes our sleds has been doing it for 100 years now. So, and they're in Finland. So, yeah, it is very cool. Their kick sleds are actually quite new to Alaska, and not even just Alaska. Kick sleds are quite new to the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. My cousin Val, she owns Kick Sled Alaska, and they're based out of Anchorage.
Oh, cool.
And yep. So she's the one who got me roped into this. And to be quite honest, like, we stumbled upon, well, not stumbled. She introduced them to us, during the pandemic. It was actually right before the pandemic that she started. And then during the pandemic, we got some kick sleds for my kids and myself. Mm-hmm. And we love them. I mean, they were honestly just such a godsend for us, because they got us outside every day, trying new trails, exploring new places. And I quickly discovered, it was like every 5 minutes on a trail, someone's like, what is that? Where did you get that? How did you make that? And I was like, okay, this is something.
Yeah.
There's something to these. They're very user-friendly. It's like a chair on skis, is what I tell people. So it's, you know, like a dining room chair. And then you've got two skis, one on each side, and they're about 6.5 feet long. And they just offer such good stability on the snow and ice.
Yeah.
My kids cross-country ski, and they're amazing at it, and they're really fast at it. I used to ski, and now that I'm in my 40s, it is not so easy for me to keep up with them anymore. And kick sledding was something that I was like, oh, we can all do this, and we can all keep pace.
Yeah.
And so it's just been, it's been super fun in that aspect.
I love it. I have never done it, but when I met you in Fairbanks, and I saw your sleds, but it wasn't winter enough to actually use it. But I was like, oh, I got to try this next time I come in the winter.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I get so many people
so
when I do fun. This, when I do those trade shows, I always get people asking like, well, can you put wheels on these? we haven't tried it. And the makers at Esla haven't done it yet. So I'm assuming no.
So for right now, you're sticking with winter. Yeah.
And yeah.
Jay, my husband, he still is like, oh, I got to try one of those. He was like super into trying it. So That'll be
Oh, very
fun when
cool.
we get the chance. Cool.
I can't
Okay, well,
wait.
we'll come back to how people can do that with you if they want to. But
Cool.
before we do that, I would love to talk a little bit more about winter in Fairbanks. So,
Okay.
of course, like folks who are listening, who are interested in this topic, are probably going to see the Northern Lights. And of course, that's amazing.
Yes.
But we're going to be talking about like some of the other things that you can do while you're waiting for the lights to come out or during the day or whatever. So,
Yeah.
what are some of your favorite things, or in your opinion, the best things about winter in Fairbanks?
Oh my goodness. Okay, the list is long.
I know it is.
Being born and raised here, I think I have a very different appreciation for it. And I've been raised very differently than I think most people. We call it the lower 48. So, the lower 48 states in America. I grew up outside at, I remember my parents kicking me outside at 30 below and being like, go play with the neighbors. I'm like,
Yes.
okay, fine. So, whether it was like tunneling, snow tunneling in the banks and things like that, just a lot of imaginative play for us when we were kids. But as an adult, what I love about it are the things like getting outside in nature, and not just being inside. Yes, I mean, when it's really cold, because we just had a massive cold snap here in Fairbanks, at 40 below for 2 weeks, you don't go outside much, right? And so when I'm referring to getting outside doing stuff, I don't go out at 30 below anymore. When I was a kid, that was one thing. But now, as an adult, I have like a 15 below cutoff. But and getting outside at 15 below and being active, whether you're cross country skiing or kick sledding or snowshoeing, that's all activities that you're exerting energy and it's a surprise workout, a lot of them. And so being outside that cold is actually quite easy, as long as you have the right layers on.
For
And
sure.
that's probably one of the biggest, what's the word I'm looking for? The biggest PSAs, I guess I want to give to our incoming visitors is dress appropriately. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people come to the kick sled shop wearing rain boots, like just rain boots, like you would have in Seattle or something. And there's no insulation. They're frozen. As soon as you're outside, they freeze and your feet are frozen, no matter what kind of socks you have inside of them. So if you're going to come to this climate, be prepared and invest in those good pieces, because that's going to make such a world of difference for you when you're visiting us.
I
So
totally
get
agree with
good
that.
Arctic gear, get good boots. And then here's the best part. When you leave Fairbanks, you could probably even get on Marketplace and sell that stuff for half of what you paid for it and still get some money back from it, right? And sell it within a day. Like that's how easy it is. So,
Totally. I think
but go
I
ahead.
was just thinking about that too, and like that key being like being prepared like that with things that are really warm, it makes such a big difference. And being able to get outside, especially, I think this is less of an issue for visitors, but when you live in a place like Fairbanks, being able to do things that are fun that get you outside in the winter is just so important for getting through it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's why you're here. You're here to experience something unlike anything you're used to. And that's, I mean, I always encourage people to just fully immerse yourself in our culture. And whether it's getting out and building a snowman at your Airbnb or whatever it is, like just do it. It's so much fun. And just get a taste of what life is like for us here. Now at 40 below, things are a little bit different. And we have to get creative. So there's all these really cool trends that are happening right now, like freezing your clothes, and taking boiling water and throwing it up in the air and taking some really cool images of watching that boiling water turn into dust. There's some really cool stuff that you can do even at 40 below. So.
You know, it's funny, Morgan, because I am a born and raised Seattleite. And when I first moved to Fairbanks, I was so like intimidated by the winter because I'd never experienced a real winter. I mean, we don't we have winter here, but it's not that cold. You know, we don't have snow consistently, like things like that. And I was like so excited to have a real winter, and I was a little intimidated, but I was so ready for it to be 40 below so I could like do the boiling water thing. And the first time that that happened, which I think was in like mid to late December, I went out and did it, and then I was like, okay, I've done that now. I've done 40 below. And then I was like, there's still several months left of this.
Definitely.
But it was really fun and real. There's so many just unusual, novel things you can experience there. It's really cool.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, we have some great museums. Our visitor
Yeah.
center is so rich with culture and
Yes.
information. And I mean, when you say information, I mean like they have an entire island of brochures of the things
Yes.
that you could do and experience here.
Yep.
And so that's always my first recommendation when people come see us is go visit the Morris Thompson Cultural Visitor Center,
Totally agree
and
about that.
just stock up on all the brochures. Even if you're not going to do them all, just have them because when it's
Yes.
cold and you need something else to do, then you can go back to
Yeah. And if you're, it's a must do for map nerds also, because there are so many, like, in addition to all
Yes.
the other cool stuff there, there are just so many maps, which is really fun. Cool. So, what are
Absolutely.
some of the other things that you like to do or like to encourage visitors to do when they come to
Yeah.
Fairbanks in the winter?
So we have so many really cool, just like artisan shops and things like that.
Yeah.
There are some really cool places to go visit and get gifts from or, you know, just trinkets for your travels and things like that, which is always fun. And you're supporting our local economy, which is so important because winter tourism, yes, is on the upswing. It's gotten a lot more in the last probably 10 years or so.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of places that stay open all year long. And so just encouraging people to go visit those little, like I'm a little shop. And when
Yeah.
I, you know, when someone stumbles upon me, I just get really excited because one, I want to share Fairbanks so much.
Yeah.
And two, like I love hearing where people are from and what they're experiencing. And I always ask, like, where are you going next? What are you going to do next in Fairbanks? And so one of those is like traveling, you know, a little bit out of side your comfort zone, whether you're going to Chin Hot Springs Resort, and going to soak in the hot springs. And one little another PSA I guess I have is people don't realize that there's no cell phone service at a certain mileage once you're on
Yeah.
Chena Hot Springs Road.
Yeah.
And when it's wintertime and it's dark and you have a tourist who's driving themselves, it can be a little bit intimidating when you're on that road and you're like, why don't I have cell phone service? No one
Yeah.
told me, you know?
Yeah.
So I always try to let people know, I'm like, it's just a straight road. And the last place you're like, the last place on the road is Chena Hot Springs. So just keep
Right.
driving.
Yes, you can't really get lost.
Nope, you can't get lost. Don't
Yeah.
panic when GPS doesn't work, but just know that you don't have any cell phone service. So.
Yes. That's so important. Yeah.
They
Yeah,
should have like
what?
a giant sign on the road that says like end of cell phone service.
Yes. It's okay. It's not you. There's just no service here. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Other things to do, like, I don't know. I love the train that goes between
Yeah.
Fairbanks and Denali, Anchorage. That train ride is spectacular.
It
It's
is.
just, it's so scenic and beautiful. And a lot of times I mean, there is a ton of wildlife and I can't, you know, we can't guarantee you're going to see it, but I mean, there's your the chances are pretty good. It is. It's just a beautiful train ride. Oh my goodness. What else? I mean, I don't know.
I know this is getting a little bit away from Fairbanks, so it's okay if you're like, ah, that's too far afield. But
No,
I'm
sure.
curious what advice you would have for people about going to Denali during the winter. Given
Yep.
that like you could go there, but not a lot of stuff is open.
Yeah.
What thoughts do you have about that for visitors?
Sure. So we call Denali Ghost Town in the winter.
Yeah.
All the hotels, all of the like, I mean, there's a very short area of the Denali Village, right? I think it's maybe 2.5, 3 miles long.
Yeah.
And they're all boarded up in the wintertime, so
Yep.
nothing is open. But if you're gonna go, if there is something in particular, because I think there are some kind of tours that they do out of there. I think.
I
I'm not
think that
100% sure.
Northern Alaska Tour Company offers some tours that go to Denali.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, I usually tell people like to do it as a day trip from Fairbanks
Yes.
rather than because there are a couple hotels in Healy, but like most stuff just isn't open, like you were saying. And
Yeah.
also, like you were saying, you have to, speaking of cell phone service, like you have to be very self-sufficient to do that. But like you were
Yeah.
saying, it's so cool when it's like a complete, there's nobody there and you can just
Yeah.
walk around. That's really
Yep.
cool.
And so it really just depends on, like, if it was January, like December, January, I would just air so much caution to the wind because we have such limited daylight. So if you're saying a day trip, like
Like
you can go
2 hours.
there you can go one way and have some daylight, but then on your way home, it's going to be pitch dark. So
I
know
agree.
your surroundings, do your research, right? Like look at Google Maps, look at things that are on the road. There's rest stops along the road, but most of them are closed. Like, the porta potty rest stops, a lot of them are completely closed in the wintertime. So do your research beforehand before you go making that trek. If you're looking towards more springtime, so like February, March, April, you'll have a lot more daylight. So you could easily make a day trip out of it. Hit the road early, go out there. I mean, just driving into dinner, like you said, like looking at all those shops, they're all closed up. You can still walk right up to them and walk along their boardwalks and stuff,
It's
and take your pictures and say you did it. And then you can head home, and know that it's daylight. So pack your lunch, have all of have make sure you have appropriate gear in your car. So having all of your cold weather gear, having extra food, and just, being a smart traveler in the aspect of, okay, if I break down and it's 10 o'clock at night, what should I have? Like,
Like,
think of
what's my
that.
plan?
Yep, absolutely. And no, I mean, even have like the roadside service places like in your phone or on a post-it in your car so you know who to call should something happen. I had so many travelers this winter already come from like Hawaii and the Philippines, and I was so proud of them for renting
That's
cars and
so
driving in our
fun.
winter. I know. And I was like, good for you. And they're like, yeah, but I'm not going to drive in the dark. And I'm like, okay. I get
Or
it.
if the
I get that.
weather is terrible, and that's the nice thing about doing a day trip, is you can just decide in the morning, oh, it's like snowing like mad. This is not going to be fun, and just not do it, or be like, it's a beautiful day. Let's drive to Denali. You can kind of in the winter, you could kind of wing it like that, which you can't do very easily in the summer.
And check the weather reports too. Like, I mean, I think it's 511 is the road weather, I think. Don't actually quote me on
Alaska
that.
51. Alaska
Yep.
511 has all the road stuff.
Yep.
It's a
Because it
good
could
check.
be clear in Fairbanks, but then it could be complete ice fog on the Parks Highway. So
That's
just
not fun.
doing your research and being as smart as you possibly can, because Fairbanks can be a very dangerous place. This past week I had to pick somebody up at the airport and it was 40 below, and they came in on that 12:30 a.m. flight, which is a terrible, terrible flight, and there's no cabs. So that's the other thing too. People
No, they're
come to
like, no
Fairbanks and
thanks. We don't want to do
yeah,
this.
well, the cabs don't want to be out. Like, and Uber
No.
is such a hit and miss here. It really is. So don't think you're going to land in Fairbanks and can easily get an Uber, because
No.
chances are you can't. Because I mean, people are dealing with their own frozen cars and things like that. So it was this 12:30 flight, and I see a group of tourists, and bless their hearts, they came running out of baggage claim with their giant suitcases and like their little jackets and maybe a hat on, no gloves. And it was complete ice fog, and they just wanted to experience it like right off the bat. And I'm sitting there waiting for my people to come out, and I knew my people were going to be like way late. So I'm just sitting there watching, and I wish I would have taken a video, because they came running out and they're all excited. And then they're like, oh God, it's really cold. Like, it wasn't even 30 seconds. And they're like, let's go back inside. So they go back into the airport. I'm watching them open these giant suitcases and their snow gear like come poofing out of it, and they're putting on their snow pants and their boots and their gloves and everything. And then they come back out with probably empty suitcases. And they're like
Because they're
taking
wearing
pictures of
everything.
themselves.
Oh, that's
And I'm
hilarious.
like, good for you. You did it. It was so funny.
Oh, that is so funny.
But then I was like, where's their ride? Like, who's picking them up? I go into mama bear mode. I'm like, did they plan this? Do they know that there's no cabs in the line back there and they have to probably wait for a cab to come back? And
Yeah.
so, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh,
So
that's
if
a
you're,
lot at 12:30
it
in
is
the
a
morning when
lot.
you're probably
It
also
is.
jet lagged and, oh,
Oh, totally.
yeah.
Totally. But these guys were very excited to experience that cold, that ice fog. And then they were like, oh, this is real.
Yes. Oh, love it.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's funny.
What other things or places do you recommend for people when they're visiting Fairbanks in the winter?
So there are some really cool guides that do snow machine tours.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them now. I mean,
Yes.
it used to be there was like two, and now there's like 50 probably. So again, go to the visitor center and get your brochures and figure out who does those tours. And there's snow machine guides that do tours, whether it's like in North Pole, which is a fun place to go visit,
Yeah.
or going up towards like Circle area, like they go way out. So, and they
Yeah.
take care of everything from your gear to the snow machines to everything. So, and I mean, there's a price tag with it, but it's an
Sure.
experience of a lifetime. So things like that, dog mushing is super fun
Super
to
fun.
do. And
Yep.
there are so many dog mushers that have started their own businesses, which is so great because it's
Yeah.
these privately owned kennels, like it's families who own dog kennels
Yep.
and they want to share their passion with people. And so they've gone out and bought their business licenses and give tours on their dog sleds. And you can go and like feed the dogs. And I mean, which this is kind of funny. I have a friend who does it and she's like, we have people who want to come help us shovel poop. And I'm like, that's amazing.
That is
Like,
amazing.
so you can go
It's
help
a
care
lot
for the
more
dogs.
pleasant when it's frozen too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
Yep.
and by the way, for those of you listening, we do have an episode from last July that is about dog sledding in Fairbanks with Ryan Olson, who's an Iditarod musher. And
Yep.
so if you're
Alumni.
interested in dog sledding or planning a winter trip to Fairbanks, that is a great episode to go back and listen to. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see,
And
what
then
else?
even there's like even trips out to the Arctic or the Arctic Circle.
Yep.
So you I don't know what tour companies because I think there's a couple of them now.
Yeah.
You can drive up to the Arctic Circle. They take care of everything. They do all the scary driving.
Yes.
And you just sit back and you know that you're in trusted hands. So you can go up and do that. And that's like a day trip.
Yeah.
What else?
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, Morgan, because one thing that people, you know, when I talk to clients or listeners or people who are wanting to go in the winter, some people really want to go and just be there, and other people want to do it but are feeling kind of anxious about things like winter driving and gear and keeping track of things. And so I'm glad that you brought up tours because that's a really great way to have some of these experiences with a lot of safety from people who are really experts in that. And so there's totally, I love that you brought that up because that's a great way to do it. And also, if you do feel comfortable with that, you know, you can just rent a car and just hang out and go skiing or kick sledding or for a walk or all these different places. So you can really do it either way or some kind of combination, which I think is really wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a lot of these guides who are doing it, I mean, I have a cousin who does guiding out of Anchorage, and she does a lot of backpacking type tours, and
Yeah.
she's so experienced. And for me, I'm not a backpacker, but if I wanted to go on a trip, like she's the first person I'm calling because she is
Totally.
just such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, you want to go with somebody who's passionate about something, because
Absolutely.
they're going to have all the tricks and tools for when and if, needed, something happens. And,
Yep.
so yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about like some of the other trails around Fairbanks where you could either just go for a walk or ski or do you can people
Yeah.
take click kick sleds away? I mean, we'll come back to that later about Pioneer Park, but Can people take them to other places if they rent them from you?
Absolutely. And I
Okay.
actually highly,
I thought they could, but I couldn't remember for
yes.
sure. Okay.
And I highly recommend it. So,
Yeah. So what are some of the places that are fun to go?
I love UAF. It
Yeah.
the they have such amazing trails up at UAF,
Yeah.
and anywhere you can take a dog, you can take a kick sled. So
Yeah.
multi-use trails is where you can take kick sleds. You
Yeah.
cannot go on Nordic trails because skiers hate us.
Right,
We
'cause
leave
it
a
messes up the groove.
divot.
Yeah.
Yep, we leave a divot where we kick, and that
Yeah.
really makes them mad, which, I get it.
Yeah.
But UAF has lots of multi-use trails. So, I
Yes.
mean, really, there's all kinds of places. I love Tanana Lakes,
Yeah.
because in the wintertime, they actually keep a maintained ice rink on Tanana Lakes. And kick sleds are so much fun to take on the ice.
Oh, I bet they are.
I mean, they're a blast. I mean, snow, ice, you name it, we're going.
Yeah.
And our kick sleds fold down almost flat. So they fold, I mean, they'll fold down and you can easily transport them in your vehicle.
Oh, nice.
I have a Ford Expedition and I can fit about 12 in my Expedition.
Nice.
It's
That's
pretty cool.
awesome.
And then we have kick sleds with shorter runners. So if you are renting a little car, we have kick sleds that are 4 feet long and they fold down and they'll actually fit right in the front seat of a vehicle.
Oh, that's
So
really handy.
they are amazing. Those Finnish, they know what they're doing.
They do, right?
Yep, they really
Craters
do.
Field is another place that I think is just such a gem in
It is
Fairbanks. Are
beautiful
there
there.
multi-use trails there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yep,
I
there
thought
sure
there
is.
were.
Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Yeah,
And
I've
the
mostly
deeper you
skied when
go,
I've been there, but
yeah.
yeah.
And the deeper you go into Cramer's Field, you get some hills like further in. And that's the best. Kick sleds are great when you have a good ratio of hills to flats.
Oh, that's
So
good to
think about
know.
it.
Yeah.
So if because you're it's human powered, you're doing the work, right? So
Yeah.
if it's icy conditions, you're gonna get some really good glide and it won't be as much work. But if it's
Yeah.
like a fresh snow and a little bit sticky, that's gonna be a lot of work for you
Yeah.
kicking because you're the one who's constantly propelling yourself forward.
Yep.
So if you have a hilled area, then you can enjoy, kind of running up a hill and then gliding down. So
Yes.
this I always like to say good ratio of hills to flats. That's why I like UAF so much. Because there is just a little bit of everything there.
Yeah,
And as
yeah.
well as it's not just the trails that you can stay on. You can take kick sleds on the roads, on sidewalks, I mean everywhere. And I love UAF at night. So I have one of my kids skis
Yeah.
for Junior Nordic. And so when he goes Junior Nordic skiing with his team, I usually take kick sleds and I just go kick sled on the roads all over UAF around campus because there's such fun hills all over
Yeah.
campus and
Yep.
groomed. Everything's groomed. Everything is plowed and nicely taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's really well lit. So
Yes.
especially at Christmas time, because all the Christmas lights are on, or even, December, January is when they have all these lights on and it's just so scenic and beautiful and you get a view of town and it's a blast.
Yep.
And I mean, it's fun. Like when was the last time you did something that you were like, wee?
Yes, so
So,
fun.
when you're on a kick sled, I guarantee you're going to be like weeing down the
Yes, that is really
road.
fun.
Yeah.
Wee, 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 wee.
Unless, of course, they decide that they want to sand or gravel the roads, and then kick
Oh,
sleds
yeah.
do not like that at all.
Yes.
It's a major buzzkill for us.
Yeah.
But so our kick sleds have these plastic runners on them. And they're held on with zip ties. So we can clip those zip ties off and peel off the plastic runners. And then there's exposed steel, which is the
Ah,
actual runner. And so
so
you
that
can
probably does
take,
better if
it does
there's the
better. Like it'll
gravel.
still kind of catch on gravel if it's like a heavily graveled area.
Yep.
But if it's gravel that's like embedded in the ice, you're going to just glide right over it with just the steel runners.
Yeah.
So the kick sleds are pretty versatile. And, if you were to come to rent one from me, I would say, okay, where are you going to take it? Okay. Well, if you need to, then remember you can clip off the runners and put them in your car and just take them on the steel.
Love it.
So
That's so fun.
yeah. And Pioneer Park, where we rent them at, Pioneer Park is very flat. There
Yes.
is not a lot of one hill.
Yeah.
It's a driveway hill. It's not even a big hill. It's teeny tiny, but it's fun. So
Yes.
for my adventure skiing seekers. I'm always like, yes, come, you know, try them out. But if you really want to like get up, get these things out and see what they do, then go find some hills, go to UAF, take them for 2 hours because
Yep.
it's so quick. It's so easy to get from my shop to UAF. It's like a 10-minute drive.
Right.
So you can take it for a 2-hour rental and be back in no time.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. That's so
Yeah.
fun. Okay. Are there any other things other than before we get like into a little more about like where people can find you and all that, any other things that people really need to do while they're visiting Fairbanks in the
Oh
winter?
man. So, okay, when so Fairbanks is pretty big. The borough of Fairbanks is a very
Yeah.
large area.
Yeah.
So there's a lot on the outskirts. So it just depends on what, like if you want to go skiing, like we have some really good hills. We've got Moose Mountain, we've got oh gosh, now I can't remember the name of it. Oh my gosh, Ski Land.
Yeah.
Up the old or the Steese Highway.
Yep.
And then a hidden gem that I really love is Fort Wainwright. So at Fort Wainwright, they have Birch Hill. It's not by all means like this is a very little ski hill, Birch Hill
Yeah.
is.
Yep.
But they have an inner tube hill and it is
So
a
fun.
blast.
Speaking of
It
we,
is,
yeah.
yep. It's good. So, and I think they're only open on the weekends though. So plan accordingly. And anybody can get onto Fort Wayne right now. So you just have to, you know, have your ID and a license and registration for the car. So if you're
Nice.
renting a car and some form of insurance, I think, which most people use their own.
Yeah.
And so take that into the visitor center at Fort Wainwright, and then they give you a day pass and you can get right up to Birch Hill. So
Nice.
definitely take advantage of that. That's really fun.
Love it.
Yeah. My gosh, what else? And North Pole, like going to Santa Claus house,
Yeah.
checking that off your list.
Yep.
What else is in North Pole? There's other things in North Pole to go check out, and they have a visitor
Chena
center there
Lakes
as well.
is one of my favorite. I mean, it's not in North Pole, but close to
Yep.
there. You know,
Oh,
that's
very
another great
close.
place for skiing, and it's
Yeah,
great in the
ice
summer.
fishing.
But yeah, ice fishing.
Yep.
Yes.
There's some guides that do everything. So like under the guide service, they have snow machining and ice fishing and Northern Lights tours and everything. So they do it all, but you can book those ice fishing huts through them, I believe. So
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah.
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, one other thing, Morgan, like, you know, people really want to see the Northern Lights when they go to Fairbanks. And of course, that is like super amazing. I think
Yes.
I've never met a person, even someone like you who's born and raised, who ever like starts taking that for granted and is like, oh,
Yeah,
no big deal. Right.
for
So,
sure.
I am curious. What advice you would have for visitors if they're coming to Fairbanks and they're like pumped about having all these adventures, but also
Yeah.
they're like, I really want to make this a priority. What advice do you have to give people kind of the best chance of seeing them?
Best chance would be obviously in the evening time.
When it's dark.
Obviously, yep,
Yes.
get yourself an app. So I use oh, I can't remember what it's called, like My Aurora Forecast, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, there's a couple
And it
different ones.
sends you notifications like in 1 hour the Northern Lights should be out and moving around if it's not overcast, right? So and that app is going to send you notifications even if it's snowing and there's zero visibility,
Yeah.
because they're letting you know like they are active. We can't control the weather. So and that's I think the biggest takeaway I want to give your listeners is don't be mad at the locals if you can't see the Northern Lights.
I agree with that.
we try to turn them on for you. If I had a switch,
Yes.
I swear I would do it like every day.
Right?
Yep, but it's all weather dependent.
Yeah.
Getting up above the inversion line too is really important. So just this last week we had terrible ice fog. I mean, it was god awful.
Yeah.
You couldn't see 10 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
But if you drive up into the hills and get above the inversion line, and the inversion line is where, oh gosh, there's a scientific term for this, and I'm gonna butcher it. So I'm just gonna say when you're driving up a hill and all of a sudden there's no more fog, you've hit
Yeah.
the inversion line.
Yep. Yes.
Get above the inversion line and then and find a parking spot somewhere. I actually have a lot of people will stop at the end of our driveway, and I'm
Oh,
like,
funny.
I think it's tourists, you guys. Usually it
Yes.
is people stopping on our road because they've gotten above the inversion line and they're looking, just for a place to park.
Yeah.
Alaskans are great that way, and I mean, unless there's like a no trespassing sign, like then definitely stay off.
Yeah,
But
for
if you're
sure.
just on a road and you're like, oh, this is a good spot, and then the northern lights are starting to move, then be safe, put your hazards on, and take a look. But
Yeah.
there's so many different tour companies now. Like I said, in the last 10 years, our winter tourism has just boomed,
It really
and there are
has, yeah.
so many companies that offer Northern Lights tours, and they will pick you up at like your Airbnb in a van,
Yeah.
or a bus, and
Yep.
take you out to I have no idea where. Like these companies have like their secret spots. A lot of them are off the beaten path, out of town, but they know where they're going, and do your research, and like I said, go to the visitor center and see who's doing the Northern Light tours. If you're like,
Yeah.
if that's the only thing you want to do is see the Northern Lights, then find a tour so you're not stressing yourself out with like, where do I go?
Yeah. And it helps you stay awake from like 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. also if
Yes.
you're on
Yeah, for sure.
a
A lot of our hotels here in town have a Northern Lights wake-up call.
Yeah.
So you go to bed and say, or before you go to bed, go to the front desk and say, can I get on that list, the Northern
Yeah.
Lights call? And they're like, yeah, sure. So, I mean, they'll call you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, say they're out. Then
And then you
you
can't
go
be
out and check them out.
cranky that they called you at 2 a.m.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
I always tell my, friends who are visiting, if they're wanting to do an Airbnb, find an Airbnb in the hills,
Yeah.
because one, it's warmer up in the hills anyways. And two, the chances of seeing the Northern Lights are just a little bit greater if it's foggy out, or if
Yep.
the, even if it's like if it's snowing, a lot of times it's still clearer up here than it is. I
Yeah.
say up here because I live on a hill.
Yeah,
So
love it.
I love the inversion and it's wonderful. So last week when it was ice fog, my husband was sending me pictures from work and I was like, you can't see anything. I was like, it is blue skies and the sun is
Yeah,
shining up
because
here.
you were up above the fog. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Love those tips. Those are fantastic. And by the way, we also have an episode about seeing the Northern Lights that was back in September. So if you want to do a deeper dive into that one, go back and listen to that episode as well.
Awesome.
Okay, we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about how to get one of these rad kick sleds to go wee on hills
Let's
in
kick it.
Fairbanks and hear a few more of Morgan's favorites in Fairbanks. So we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Jenny here. I just wanted to let you know about a couple of the other ways that I can help you with planning your trip to Alaska besides this podcast. One of them is my Alaska travel planners, which are digital documents where you can keep track of everything for your trip in one place, stay organized, and share it with your travel companions. And I have different ones for different types of trips. So those digital planners, along with my pre-made itineraries, which are five of my absolute favorite all-time Alaska itineraries, all that is in my online shop. So if you want to grab that, that is at shop.ordinary-adventures.com. And if you're looking for a little more personal help, or perhaps you're a little further along in the process and you need some help deciding between a couple different tours or locations or something like that, or maybe you're at the beginning and you just need the basics of your itinerary figured out, that is what my 30-minute Zoom planning sessions are all about. And that is your time to use however you want. It's super fun. We can talk about whatever you need help with, and I'm really good at helping you in a short time get through the decisions you need to make. And then finally, if you want me to do it all for you, I can do that too. And you'll find all the links for these in the show notes right below the tip jar. All right, back to the show. Okay, we are back with Morgan Clay, born and raised Fairbanksan. And we are talking about winter in Fairbanks and all the fun things to do there. And, Morgan, I just thought of something else that I wanted to ask you, which is, you're a mom, and I get so many questions from people about, like, is it safe to bring my kids or my baby to Fairbanks in the winter? And I always find that a little bit funny because, like, well, people have babies and children in Fairbanks,
We have
like there's lots of
survived.
kids and they're fine. And so I know this is a little off what I said we were going to do, but I would love to hear, like, for someone who's bringing, let's say, especially a younger child, like, to Fairbanks in winter, like, what advice do you have for them about, like, staying calm and making sure that your child doesn't freeze to death?
Number one, invest in the good gear.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be your biggest saving grace is investing in really good Arctic gear, gloves, hats, thermals, like long underwear. Like my kids live in their long underwear all winter long.
Yeah.
So I mean, and so yeah, you only need two pairs. That's all you need. And if you're visiting for a week, you only need one pair.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, that's a good investment. And then just like, I don't know, get them outside. And so kids, like let's say you have kids from California and they're visiting Fairbanks for the very first time and they're actually like getting into cold winter snow for the first time, get out there with them. You have to lead by example. So whether it's going sledding or kick sledding or building a snowman or whatever it is, get out there with them. Because then they're more likely to be like, oh, this is actually not so bad. And then next thing you know, like you can go inside, enjoy a cup of coffee, and they're going to go outside and they're going to continue to play. So that's, I mean, kids love Alaska. They do. It's just such a different place. And it's this is magical. Like it's all of a sudden they're living in a snow globe, right? So,
Last winter, I took my nieces, who at the time were 10 and 12, to Fairbanks, and that was their choice. They wanted to go to Alaska with me, and they wanted
oh,
to go in the
cool.
winter, and it was so fun. Like, we went dog sledding, and we went to the ice park, and we visited all, they're very into animals, and we went to visit all my friends who have dogs, and, like, did the dog tour of Fairbanks,
Fun.
the off the
I
unofficial
totally
one.
forgot about the ice park. I totally forgot
Oh,
about that. We talked about all
we
these things
talked about the ice
earlier.
park, did we? Oh, it's so
It
fun.
opens in February, mid-February. February 17th is when they open up, and it is such a sight to be seen.
It's really fun.
You could spend hours there. I mean,
Easily.
easily hours. So yeah, that's and kids love it because they have such a great ice slide area and kids, interactive play. The one thing I always encourage people to do when they have kids and they're taking them there is get a helmet. Whether you're going to Fred Meyer's and buying a bicycle helmet, put it on them because it is ice. It is hard. And those slides, like you can get a little bit squirrely on them. So, I mean, I'm shocked that they don't require people to wear them. And I think it's after starting my own business and having to deal with insurance myself, and
You're
insurance was
like,
like, oh, no,
oh
you're gonna make them wear helmets. So I'm like, okay, how can the ice park get away with this? But okay.
right? That's a good
Um,
question. That's a
it
very
is a
good
very
point.
good question. I know, trust me.
Oh gosh.
So yeah, getting, just investing in, their brain and getting a helmet would be great. Come see me at the kick sled shop and I'll rent you one if you need one.
Perfect.
Where were we going with all that? Now I can't remember. I got so sidetracked.
Well, and I interrupted you talking about my, but I think, like, what you're saying is, like, be prepared, but then kind of dive in and let it be fun and, like, don't be freaked out and it'll be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So, and I
Cool.
mean, when you're coming to Fairbanks, if you're getting an Airbnb, like ask the questions like, do you have sleds at your Airbnb? Like,
Oh,
because
yeah.
sledding is fun for everybody, whether it's flat or not, like just, getting out and it's something that's just quickly inviting, right? And so you can be like, there's a sled outside, go play the sled. Like, oh, okay.
Okay, speaking of sleds and the ice park, sorry, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but it is crazy to me. And again, like, when I was there with my, nieces, and we're, like, sledding, I was like, okay, like, I, you think about it differently than you do when you're, like, just an adult without any kids with you. But I was like, wow, I didn't remember that you could take sleds on the ice slide. I mean, you could really get moving. I was like, and the girl, my nieces, they were like, I don't know that we want to do this with sleds. I think we'll just slide. And I was like, that sounds great.
I know.
But, you know, you see people with sleds all the time. And I'm like, okay.
Last year, I watched a man take his brand new baby. Like, this baby was not even 6 months old. And he got on a sled and put the baby in his lap and went shooting down one of those slides. And I was like,
man.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah, so the sled, I mean, those ice slides are just as good on your butt, or
they are. Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
you don't have to have a piece of plastic to enjoy it.
Yeah. And I have totally seen people go, especially when they have one that has like a curve at the bottom. I've seen like teenagers just like fully fly off. Oh, man. Okay.
Yep. But also going to the ice park at night is also very imperative, because people don't realize that all of that ice is lit up with like different colored lights at night.
Yes.
So going during the day is one thing. And I mean, honestly, like I don't know why anybody would go during the day.
Yeah, it isn't quite as cool. Yeah.
They are so spectacular at night.
Yes.
And I think they're open pretty late too. So yeah, definitely go at night.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So, Morgan, if people are coming to Fairbanks and they're like, I got to try this kick sled thing, that sounds
absolutely
so
they do.
Fun. like, give us the details. Like, where do they find you? Like, what, when are you open? And I know, like, if someone's listening to this next year, it could be different, but like, roughly what months are you open? What time? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yep. So as soon as the snow flies, I'm moving in. So we locate at Pioneer Park, which is right smack dab in the middle of Fairbanks on Airport Road.
Yeah.
In the summertime, it's this like busy, bustling, fun park. In the wintertime, it's ghost town, and it's just me. So I get 44 acres of a playground, which is fantastic. It's the Fairbanks North Star Borough owns and operates it. So the minute it's like snowing, they're out there with plows, like plowing everything and making it pristine and beautiful. So it's really well maintained. It's really well lit, super safe. So I'm in cabin number 13. So when you get to Pioneer Park, there's basically three entrances to the park. There's the big main one that says Pioneer Park. And then to the right, there's Gold Rush Town entrance. And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
So you just walk through the Gold Rush Town entrance. You can walk through any of them. But as soon as you get to Gold Rush Town, where all the cabins are, I'm the first cabin. And it's cabin number 13. Awesome. And I have lots of signs on my building or on the cabin. Lights are on when I'm open. And it's a cute little cabin. I call it my cozy kick sled cabin.
Aww.
It's 200 square feet. So very tiny, but nice and warm. So you come in, and kick sleds are based off of your height, not your weight. So I usually size you, and I'll say, like, how tall are you? Okay, you're going to need a T6 or a T7. Or if you're a little guy, you need a T2. And we'll get you all sized up, and depending on how old you are. So I require everyone under the age of 18 wear a helmet. So I'll give you a helmet. And then you have to sign a waiver. That was the fun thing about starting my business, was getting insurance for it was my biggest hurdle, because like I said, kick sleds are so new to America.
Yeah.
So they don't exist on an insurance form. There's no category for me. So it's not a scooter, and it's not skiing, and it's not, so I'm like, it's a snow scooter. And they're like, that doesn't exist. No. So it took 10 months actually to get insurance for our business. I had to go to Juneau and lobby to get a little tiny box put on an insurance form. But alas, here we are. We've done it. I pioneered the way for kick sledders.
I love it. And it's so fun.
Yeah. Then you sign our waiver, because that was insurance was like, you're going to get a waiver and it's going to be beefy. it's ridiculous. Like, they have some stuff and they're like, you're not going to go on a mountain. I'm like, yeah, no, you're not going to go on a mountain. There's no mountains here. And then I'll send you out. And so we have all different durations, everywhere from an hour to 3 days. And like I said, they collapse down really easily. So if you want to stay at Pioneer Park for an hour and go kick it, then that's great. But if you want to take it with you, I recommend Trails to our visitors. If you want to take it with you to your Airbnb for a few days, that's also an option. So, taking them to places like the ice park is really fun.
Oh yeah, that would be really fun.
Yeah, so I mean, they hold 400 pounds, these kick sleds do. So you can put all of your gear on them and use it essentially like a stroller almost.
Yeah.
So, or even if you have an elderly folk who elder, elder elderly folk, if you have an elder who needs a little bit more assistance, whether it's walking behind something, they can use the kick sled like that, or they can sit on the kick sled and you can push them, and then they can be, participating with you in all these fun activities.
Oh, that's really fun. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we're open, let's see, Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay.
Usually noon to six. There's different times of the year that I'll extend my hours. And we run specials all throughout the year too. So like Valentine's Day is coming up and we have a really fun scavenger hunt Valentine's Day
Oh,
package that we're doing.
fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It's just something different for people to get out and go try and do, whether they're locals or visitors.
Yeah. And
So yeah.
this podcast should be going live on Valentine's Day. So if
Oh,
you're listening
cool.
to this in real time and you're in Fairbanks, get down there
Yeah,
for a fun,
get
very
over.
unique Valentine experience.
Let's
Love
kick
it.
it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I want to come. Oh, man. Cool.
Oh, fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Morgan, what is your favorite month in Fairbanks?
My favorite month.
Yes.
I'm gonna say March,
Yeah.
because it's, well, March for a couple different reasons. One, it's just such good kick sledding in
Yeah.
March.
Yep.
It's warm. You can
Yeah.
like go kick sledding in a t-shirt sometimes.
Yeah.
The sun is just, we are gaining so much daylight. And so the
Yes.
sun is out. It's warm. It's like you can smell just spring is here.
Yes.
The birds are chirping, like just things are coming to life again, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
And if you hit it just right, you can actually, like, if you're visiting Fairbanks, you can sometimes be here for like our breakup season.
Yeah.
So like when the snow is gone, all of a sudden, like you're like, oh wait, there's
That
no
was a
snow
quick
on the
transition.
sidewalk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd say definitely March.
Cool.
And you can still see the Northern Lights too.
Yeah.
So that's
There's
also
like
a
a lot
bonus.
of daylight and a lot of night at the, there's a lot of
Yeah.
both. It's great. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I know this is a really this is a really tough one, but what's your favorite restaurant in Fairbanks?
Oh, okay. So I don't know if you know this. Well, fun fact. Fairbanks is like the Thai food capital of the United States.
Yes.
I
Yes.
don't know
I'm
what I.
laughing, Morgan, because everyone from Fairbanks who comes on the podcast is like, Thai food.
Yeah, I don't know
Yeah, I
why
agree.
the
Yeah.
Thai love us so much. And they're like,
Yeah.
we're going there, we're setting up shop, and we're never leaving.
And we're going to have the most amazing restaurants ever.
God, they're the best restaurants ever. And so my restaurants have changed a lot in the last few years because there's some new Thai restaurants. If you're gonna ask my husband, he's gonna say the Thai house downtown. My old answer was lemongrass. But today, my answer is yes, noodle soup.
Oh.
It is unbelievable. Like,
Awesome.
I
I
can't
have that's not
stress
one
it
that I've been
enough.
to.
And they have everything. They don't just have Thai food. They have like hamburgers. My
Oh,
kids love
wow.
it. They have, oh my gosh, what else? I think they have Chinese food too. Like they make
Fun.
everything. But they have these signs on their tables that say, please don't season our food. Taste it first.
Oh.
And man, you taste it and you're like, of course they don't have any seasoning. You don't need anything else. They do it
Like
so
perfect,
perfect.
just the way it is.
Oh, it's amazing. And the guy who owns the place is just such a character. Like, and he's the one who's always behind the counter. So you walk in and you're just getting it's like you're walking into grandma's house or something and your cousin is
Yes.
greeting you. Like, he's just so sweet. But
Love
yeah,
it.
awesome food. And he DoorDashes. So yeah.
Perfect. Oh, that is great. All right, finally, Morgan, I feel like you have already answered this, but I'm going to ask you anyway and give you a chance to change your answer if you want to. What is your favorite Fairbanks winter activity?
Kick sledding,
Of
obviously.
course it is. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing what you
I
do.
Know, right?
But, you
no,
know,
if
this
I'm
would
not
be your
kid
chance to
sledding,
say,
then
like, actually, it's hella skiing, or actually, it's watching Netflix, or
I wish I
actually.
was cool enough to hella ski.
Yeah.
No, I love, if I'm not kick sledding, we're snow machining. So,
yeah.
Yep, we love our snow machines. And whether it's going out on the river or, and like we have neighbors, like we'll go down on the river and have bonfires on the river with our snow machines. And like, it's
perfect.
Fun to go do. Or if we're taking a trip to Cantwell to go in the mountains, like it's, yeah, I love to snow machine.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Morgan, it has been so fun talking about Fairbanks winter stuff with you. I mean, there are
this
very
was
few
great.
things that are as fun to talk about as that. So
I know.
I am so glad that you were here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You bet, man. This was the easiest interview I've ever done.
I know. So much fun stuff to talk about. And thanks to all of you listening for joining us for this episode of Alaska Uncovered. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.